Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Israel Soto. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
I want to speak to you on a very important subject. It's not a shout me down sermon, but I pray nevertheless an encouraging sermon unto you. You know, we've been going through a lot, I'm sure, in our personal lives and in our world around that we are living in today's society. And I have found in my conversations with several people that there's a lot of fear and there's wondering and concerns about what's going on. There's a great spirit of confusion in our government and in our cities, and even amongst it's translated now into the populace in our city, and I sense it as well, even inside of the community of believers. There's a fear, what's going to happen to us? Everything is so unsure. Things have been happening so quickly. It's amazing. I might take note that in the past 4 months or so, we have lost four great ministers, very popular, large platform ministers that have preached the gospel. And that is quite surprising that in such a short time, the Lord has called these men of God home. And so even in the Christian world, you know, things are happening that are causing a certain concern in the hearts of people. Well, I was praying about that this past week, and because you can't help but get yourself entangled in listening to what really is going on. And I asked the Lord, I said, Father, you know, what's going on? There's a shaking going on in the body that is concerning. I talk to your people, and we have conversations on a daily basis sometimes, and the conversation is always what's going on and how will we come out of this? Well, I've went to a passage in Scripture, and I want to share this with you, and I've simply titled this conversation with you, devotional, whatever you might want to call it, sermon, is Peace After Fear. Peace After Fear. I want us to keep that thought in mind, because I want you to know that it's an absolute truth that God is with us. Amen? And not only have we been told by minister after minister and pulpiteer after pulpiteer and friend after friend and believer after believer, but he himself said, I am with you till the end of the age. Amen? And so what he is saying basically, what I understand him saying, that regardless of what we go through in life, regardless of the challenges and how shaking the world might be, how distraught things around us might become, the Lord always brings peace. Always settles everything within us and around us. But there's a time of fear that we all go through, amen? All of us are human beings. We all have fear. I have fears sometimes. I wish I could stand up here and say, I don't even have a clue what you guys are talking about when you talk about fear. I'm a pastor, I'm a minister, I've been preaching for all these years, I don't know what fear is. Oh, I beg to differ. I know what fear is. I know what concern is. I know what worry is. I'm just like you. The same questions that you ask God and seek God for, I myself ask the Lord. So there comes a time in our lives when things are shaking as shaken around us, and we can't help but it stirs our lives. It could be in the simplest form, the loss of a job, or the not enough finances, or someone being ill, bad news, or whatever. It can come in any shape or form, but fear always is available to quickly make its way into your heart once it sees that opportunity. And so what happens to us then is so many things, because we all respond differently to fear. Some of us who are a little up in age may handle it different than a young person. Because of the experience in their life, they've not been through so many things as we have, the elders of the church. And so we might handle or respond a little slower or with a different consciousness of what is going on. But however it may be that we respond, fear is still fear. Amen? Has anybody ever been concerned about something in your life that you actually worry? I really wish that that was something that all of us could escape. Even though that in Scripture we are told not to worry. I ask God all the time after the fact. After a day or two, after a week or so, after an hour or so of worrying, I say, Lord, oops. You said not to worry, but I'm sorry. I spent the last 2 days just biting my nails over this issue. And as I think about my relationship with God, so many times have we been worried and we've been told not to in Scripture that you wonder, you have to wonder sometimes if the Lord would treat us like just simple unbelievers. We'll just never get it. We see a couple of times in Scripture where the Lord seems to lose grip a little bit and has to put the belt a little bit to the disciples. How long must I be with you? It seems like they had just been told of the promises of God and how faithful God is. And all of a sudden, some little challenge comes their way, and here they are shaking. And Jesus has to step in to fix it. And he turns around and he says, guys, how long must I tell you that it's going to be okay? We come to him after the fact, but the point I want to make is this, that Jesus always comes. Amen. Aren't you glad that Jesus always comes to our rescue? That's the kind of Savior that we have. He always comes to our rescue. I want to take you to a passage this morning where I think we best describes what we're talking about this morning. It comes out of John chapter 20, verse 19. It's a very special and very noted point in the lives of the disciples, because something that had never happened to them happens to them now. And it was important enough to write it down in Scripture for us to know that they went through this time of worrying and fear. But it's also a same time to see how wonderful Christ is in the midst of our troubles and fears. John 20 and 19 reads as follows. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, the doors locked for fear. Listen to what's going on. With the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood amongst them and said, peace be with you. And after he had said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed. Instantly, they were overjoyed when they saw Jesus come into that room. He showed them his hands inside. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Put your hand over your heart this morning as we pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your goodness, Lord. We love you. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege, Father, you give us as your people to come into a place such as this, Father, that we could declare holy ground. Thank you, Father, that even before we were, you established a place for our meeting where we could all come together in like faith, Lord, and worship you in spirit and in truth. And thank you, Father, that you've designed the pulpit and you've given us a word to remind us of all your promises and your faithfulness. Knowing, Father, in your own words saying that in this world we would have troubles. But this word would come to infuse upon us that peace that we need to carry on. And so speak to our hearts this morning, Father. I pray for anyone who might be going through trouble. Encourage us and lift us up, we pray. In the name of your precious and only begotten Son and our Savior, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, as believers, ladies and gentlemen, we are aware that the Scripture tells us that Jesus will never leave us or never forsake us. How many believe that this morning? We believe what the Scripture says, that those of us who have been saved, that are indwelt with the Holy Spirit, that is the presence of God. And we believe that everything, with everything we go through in life, or in spite of anything we go through in life, He is our constant companion and He is our guide. Amen? But while we are aware of His presence in our hearts and our minds, sometimes situations come to shake us and to test us. You know, the Bible promises that the Lord will be near to those who are struggling or dealing with circumstances and pain associated with those circumstances in life. Psalms 34 and 18 says, "The Lord is near unto them that are broken of broken heart and saveth those who are of contrite spirit." That's a promise of God. And there are multiple scriptures where we are given these words that are undeniable, where the Lord is in the midst and has promised to be in the midst, providing for us any particular need we may have at that moment to carry on. What I'm saying to you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, it is a matter of fact that we are never alone in this journey toward heaven. Never alone. We are never alone as we walk toward the kingdom. Never alone as we make it to our heavenly Canaan. However, I believe God has left these passages for those of us in our present day who will still go through these things that shake us and sometimes come to darken the day as we make our journey toward heaven. Such as in this scripture, we find this moment in the lives of these disciples, the evening of Christ's glorious resurrection. They had just seen Jesus crucified and a couple of days before. And this day, by this moment, Jesus was already up and moving about. But for the disciples, what they had seen had shaken them up. They had witnessed, and with their eyes, what appeared to have been every hope they had, every dream they had, was now buried with Christ. They were unsure of their future, and they are struggling with the current affairs in their city. Not only had their Savior been murdered, but now even the government around them was after them because they associated with someone they called the Way. How many of us can relate to trouble in our lives at times? Now, you and I weren't there when they crucified Christ. And we weren't there when He rose again. And we weren't there in that upper room where these men were locked in. But you will agree that you and I know what it feels like to be afraid and worried and unsure. Life can lead you through those experiences. And in this passage, though, we find these guys in a terrible, just in dire straits, we see something beautiful happen on behalf of Christ, their Savior. You see, the Lord promised to strengthen us in the time of our weaknesses. The fact of the matter is that if you listen to Paul's writings, you'll find that in his weakness, it is then that he is made strong as the Lord shines upon him. In this whole darkened picture that we see, we begin to read on. We find out that every word that Jesus spoke on our behalf is true, even what he wrote in the past. He said that his eyes are always looking through and throughout the world on whom he can display his power, the fullness of who he is. God is always looking for someone, how he can show his faithfulness and the truth of who he is. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 verse 9 reads that. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. How many know that Jesus never partially comes? When Jesus shows up, He shows up complete. The fullness of His love, His patience, His strength, His encouragement, and His understanding. Always willing to prove Himself. When He finds that opportunity in our lives to reveal Himself in great glory. It was Paul who wrote, as I mentioned in 2 Corinthians 12:10, when I am weak, He is strong. It is a biblical principle here from where God perfects His power over us when we are going through struggles. It means that in the moments of our struggles and our vulnerability, right there is when we can rely on Christ to show up and get us through. By us acknowledging our limitations and turning to God, it will allow Him to step into our lives to encourage us and give us the joy that we need that the devil is trying to steal. You see, at this moment, these apostles' lives were in danger. They had shrunk into a position of disbelief. They were worried sick about what they had just seen. The rumors in the city, I'm sure, were loud. In their minds, they knew what they had done to Christ, the Roman Empire, what they had done to Him. And surely because they were associated, they expected the same turnout and the same ending for their own lives. Pilate was now after them, they thought in their minds. And so the only thing to do was to run and hide, close the door, and lock it. You know, I must admit there are times in my life when things have been so unsure. And reciting every passage in my heart that I know over the years of me standing behind a pulpit and sharing them with you. Sometimes you almost have to scream that word so that your ears can hear that they are true. Sometimes the loudest words during troubles are, I'll never make it out of this one. Sometimes the words of insecurity will come louder than anything you've ever heard. And they'll scream into your heart and say, you know what, now you are really in trouble. This is a deep hole that you're in now. But in this scripture we find something that just screams louder than any negative voice you may hear in your heart when you're in trouble. And that is the voice of our Father's love. The Bible tells us that He walked into that room. I was thinking about this, guys, if I may interject a little bit. This wasn't the first time that these guys felt this way. It wasn't the first time that they felt doubtful of Christ, or that they doubted that they would make it out of whatever circumstance they may have been in. It wasn't the first. Jesus seemed to have gone through so many times where He had to kind of shake them again at the neck of their heart to remind them of the truth He had spoken to them. It seemed like every time He told them, I'm going to die, but I'm going to resurrect, they seemed to kind of look at Him with glass eyes and seemed to understand. But the very next challenge they would face, they would all go astray. They didn't know what to do. Sometimes they would be allowed to practice what they had learned from Christ, and yet they couldn't do it. I think now, even in this moment, as Jesus walks into the room, He finds out in His heart, He knows what these men, or what position these men are in. And you would think, maybe, I don't know, I'm glad that Jesus is not me and I am not Him. But you would give up on people who just don't seem to get it. Aren't we like that sometimes? When you try to teach somebody something and try to convince them of something, and they seem to get it, but all of a sudden you end up fixing bridges over and over. You would think that Jesus may have felt like we do sometimes and say, you know what, these guys are never going to get it. I'm going to turn around and I'm going to go about my own business and let them handle whatever it is that they have to handle. Because that's the way humanity is. Has anybody ever been abandoned by a friend? Has anybody ever told you, you know what, I'm just not going to help you anymore, man. You keep getting in that situation. And rightfully so, sometimes we can justify a response like that because, come on, how many times do I have to tell you before you get it? And here we have one of those moments where Jesus could have easily said, ah, where are they? I spent all this time teaching them. They saw me raise the dead. They saw me heal the blind. They saw me clean the leper. They saw me do so many things. I fed 5,000. I proved to them everything that I can do for them. And here, where are they? I told them about what was going to happen a couple days ago. And where are they now? They're hidden away in some room, afraid. You would think that Christ may have had every reason in the world to turn around and say, Lord, these are the wrong 12, man. But that's not what he did. He still came to them. And that moves my heart so much. Because if you'll just stop to think how many times in your frailties you have shrunken back. And how many times in your life and mine Jesus could have said, you know what? You're just not going to get it, man. You're just not going to get it. But instead of saying that, he walks into the room and he immediately addresses your circumstance. The first thing that Jesus did when he walked in was he apprehended their fear. He took fear by the neck in the words that he said. In that same day, that evening, the doors were locked and Jesus walked in and he stood in their midst. But he didn't go in there to join them in their sorrows. He didn't go in there to sit down and weep with them. I know that Jesus has the capability of sitting with us and hurting with us. He is a perfect mediator. He understands us. He allowed Samuel to weep for his wife for 40 days. He himself wept over Jerusalem. He knows what it's like to hurt and to feel. But in that day, at that moment, he didn't walk into that room to have a pity party and join their pity party. But the first thing he said was he said, peace be with you. And you'll find in Scripture he did not only say that once, because the first time, as many would assume, it was not a greeting. It was not Jesus greeting them. Hey, what's going on? He walked in, he said, peace be with you. And what they may have thought was a greeting was actually a rebuke to the fear that had them captive. You'll find this in Mark chapter 4, verse 39, on another time in the lives of these men. You remember when they were crossing the Sea of Galilee on their boat and that tempest rose against them? Remember that? When these guys lost sight of what they had received and been promised to by Christ, and Jesus was resting in the lower deck, and they were afraid for their lives, and they actually went up there and kind of rebuked him when they knocked on his door. Jesus, don't you care that we're drowning? And Jesus was at rest. But the Bible says, if you'll read that passage, when he got up, the first thing he said was not, he didn't speak to the men. He didn't say, what's going on, guys? Well, look. Oh, I hadn't noticed the temp. He didn't say that. The first thing that Jesus did when he walked on the deck, what he said, peace, be still. And the Bible said that immediately the storm laid on its back. And the winds hushed their whistle. And the waves stopped their crashing. And they obeyed the word of their Savior. But the first thing that Christ did was speak to their oppressor. And I have found that in my life and in our life, many times Jesus will do that. Sometimes we expect Christ to come and sit with us and sorrow with us and have us mumble through our problems. Well, You know how you call your son sometimes that he's weeping, or your daughter sometimes? What's going on? Tell me. Get to it. What happened? That's not what Jesus did. He knew exactly what was happening. And the first thing he did was he stood between them and their oppressor. And he spoke to the storm. And here when he walks in, he spoke to fear. He said, "Peace be with you." This is why you read in Scripture that at that moment they believed. Because at that moment, at the word of Christ, the devil bent his knee and ran out of there. Fear got its luggage and moved out of that upper room. And those men were delivered from fear. And this is what God will do for his people. This is what God will do for you and me. When Jesus shows up, he may not talk to you first, but he will talk to the devil that is oppressing you and break his neck and run him out. This is where deliverance comes for us. This is how wonderful our Savior is. This is how loving he is. He'll get you and put you aside while he has that monster in front of you. He's got you in fear. This is what a good father does when he walks into a room. He sees who's standing in front of his son, and he moves him out of the way and goes to deal with him. And that is the violence of our God when he protects his children. This is the kind of trust you and I should have as we serve the Lord, that he is our defender. In the midst of their fear, that means in the midst of our frailties, in the midst of our shortcomings, even when we can't get it right, God loves us so much that he will stand between you and whatever is oppressing you and bring you his joy again. This is what we see. Instantly, fear is cast out. While you and I may turn our backs on someone who just can't get it right, we have a Savior who'll never turn his back on us. This is what I see in that upper room. Psalms 46 and 1 says, "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give away and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their struggle, there is a river whose streams make glad." There is a stream whose rivers make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells, and God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms will fall. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. That's the God that you serve. That's the God that we serve. In the midst of our fears, he'll always come. And he'll address the situation. Let him address your situation. Let him speak to the things. This is why he taught us. Wasn't he the one who said, "If you'll speak to that mountain, thou be moved"? Is that what your Bible says? We have now an illustrative sermon from Christ himself. They may have remembered he said that. If you'll speak to that mountain, thou be removed. What Jesus showed him was the living word in action. He spoke to fear, peace. The antagonist of fear, the antidote for being afraid is peace. And not just any peace, but a peace that surpasses all what? All what? I just don't know how he does it, but he does it. What he does for them, secondly, is he comforted them. Again, he says to them, "Peace be unto you." You can imagine how these men felt at this time. And all of a sudden to feel the peace of God that was now in them. It was their greatest need of that moment. When he spoke to the fear, then he spoke and said, "Peace be with you." What these guys needed at that moment was to return to the joy of salvation again. They needed that relief that only Christ could give. See, we have a Christ, we have a Savior that is not only a defender, but he is a comforter. We don't realize, ladies and gentlemen, how much fear can hurt you. It does, it has a lot of collateral damage, fear does. You would think that, well, I was just afraid and nothing else happened, but it affected you in every way. It'll affect your surroundings. It'll affect those whom you speak to when you're afraid. It'll affect your body. It'll affect your health. It'll affect and interrupt your prayer life. It'll interrupt your joyful singing. It'll interrupt your coming to church life. It'll interrupt your witnessing life. When you're afraid, it'll interrupt everything about you. So when fear leaves, you would think that that's the only thing that happens. Fear left and now you're fine. No, there's collateral damage that Jesus has to fix. There are things sometimes that these things break. That things break when we're afraid. But he's a comforter to those. Anytime the enemy comes into your heart to move things around, Jesus will always come to fix things up. Somebody say amen. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1 and 3 that he is a God of all comfort. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. All of our troubles, not only some of our troubles. Aren't you thankful for the comfort of the Lord? That's what keeps us going. I find it incredible, ladies and gentlemen, when I see some of our elders here and many of us who have gone through tough situations. When I've seen you weep and I've seen you hurt and I've seen you shrink a little bit. But here we are, after years of whatever circumstance you went through has passed, here you are worshiping God again. Here you are pressing on in the Lord, and that can only tell me that God has healed you. Amen? There's a lot of people in this world that will not allow God to heal them. Amen? That's a fact. Have you ever met a Christian who has been hurt in church or somewhere? He said, "It'll never happen to me again. I'm fine now." No, you're not. No, I'm good. And they hurt me bad. I went to church and somebody hurt me, or the pastor hurt me, or somebody hurt me in the church. And I said, "Man, that'll never happen again, but I'm fine." And no, you're not. I beg to differ. Because if you were fine, you would return to the way you were. We're going to get to that in just a little bit. But there's healing involved, and this is what Jesus comes when he speaks to them about peace. The devil had come to hurt them. I'm sure it spoke a lot of their testimony. You think people didn't know they were hiding away? What happened to the other church? Where did the guys go? They took an Uber out of town, man. Where are all the preachers at? They were with Jesus. Just fear when you. This is why people hide. People run. Fear will hurt you. Jesus has to come to repair those things in your life, to build you up with courage again. You see, it's when you lose faith and you're afraid. That's when the devil takes advantage of your soul and your inner relationship with God. It'll insult you. You'll never live up to God's expectations. It'll demean you. It'll pull you down. It'll down-talk you. It'll speak to your heart in a demeaning way. It'll hurt your testimony. It'll hurt when people are around you who notice that you shrunk away. Things get hurt. Jesus has to come in to comfort and heal. And we need to let him heal us. It wasn't him who hurt us. Jesus is the lover of your soul. And when the devil comes in like a storm to shove you around in fear, and he weakens you in every way he can, let Jesus come and heal you with whatever damage the enemy has done in your life. He will restore you and build you up again. Though the voices of fear and negativity may be loud, I'll say it again, his love screams louder. Amen. His love screams louder. Well, again, I say maybe one of us would leave and abandon someone. Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. He will come and he'll fix you. The last point of this morning, I'll say that there is another reason why the Lord will come to restore you. What else he will do for you when you allow him to come in, step into your life and rescue you. He comes to refocus you. This is something very important. Sometimes we can stop with half of this message and just talk about how God wants to heal you and how God will show up in your time of trouble. But I believe that this last little principle is one that all of us need to really concentrate and embrace and emulate. The third thing that Jesus did for these guys in that room was he refocused them once again to where they once were. What did Jesus say to them? He said, just as the Lord has sent me, so I am sending you. That was right after he showed up. That's right after he showed them their wounds and his side, and they believed and they were overjoyed. That was after he comforted them and spent time with them. I'm sure he heard a couple of little stories and we're afraid of this and the other. And he comforted his children. He comforted his men. But he wasn't about to leave that place without the most important plan. And that it was to get them back in focus. That's what fear does. By majority, that's what fear does to an individual that shrinks away from walking with God. He loses his sight of where he was going. I can tell you that people who have gone through situations like this have never found their way back to church. Once COVID came, it hurt every church in the world. And there are people still afraid of coming out to a group and a body of believers here. I'm not going to criticize, but there are people still wearing masks. They still refuse to go to the store. They still refuse, much less go to church. Fear has caused them to lose their initial focus. How many people have I spoken to over the years, this past 4 or 5 years of COVID that we just went through, that I've actually been bold enough to tell people and say, brother or sister, what happened? I see them in the street sometime. I go like, hey, how are you? Hey, pastor. How are you? I haven't seen. Yeah, well, you know, with all this stuff going on, I'm going like, what's he referring to? What's he referring to? All this going on. Nothing's been going on for a long time. But I get it. They're still living in that past fear. You know, with all, you know, the COVID. And as a matter of fact, my husband had COVID. Really? They used to call those catarro. Mocos. Now it's COVID. It's that death-defying name that we've all embraced as the killer of men. And I'm not being insensitive to the fact that many people were hurt by this. The point I'm trying to make is that fear will cause you to lose sight of where you were in the first place. And so Jesus realigns them in that very room where he's comforted them and encouraged them and proved to them that everything is okay. He realigns them with their initial mission. He reminds them of the purpose of salvation. They had a clear understanding of it before he died. They had a clear understanding of what their mission was before Jesus was put on the cross. They had total understanding why the Lord had discipled them before he had walked up Calvary. But the moment they got afraid, they lost sight of what it was all about. And Jesus says to them, just remember, just as he who has sent me, so I am sending you. Meaning to them, don't forget you are the carriers and the messengers of the purpose of me. Don't forget that you are the voice box that we are leaving in this earth to voice out of the kingdom of God. Don't forget where you were going when you became afraid. When things were shaken in your life, don't forget what the initial call in your life was. There has to be continuity in the life of a believer. There has to be continuity. There has to be a fluidity in the life of a believer. That is to continue in spite of the snags in life. We need to get up and continue the same direction we were going. Many people, sadly, ladies and gentlemen, don't understand that. They ignore that truth. Again, I say to you, many who have been afraid will say, that'll never happen to me again, or I'll never put myself in that position again. Ladies and gentlemen, these men not only realigned their lives, but they went all the way unto death after Christ, after he spoke to them. Every single one of them understood when Jesus said, just as they have sent me, so I am sending you. Every one of them left that room preaching the gospel just as they were before the shaking of their lives. That if you read their ending testimonies, all of them died at the stake because they believed that they were sent of God to do a work. And nothing was going to allow them or cause them to lose focus. How easy we lose focus in our walks today. How easy is it for us to lose the purpose of our salvation? How easy is it for us to lose sight of why he came to comfort us and to build us up and to fill us with faith? How easy it is for us to forget the direction he set us on just because of shaking, just because whatever happened, just because society and right now the country is going haywire, so much anger, so much hate, so much racism around us, all of this, it just absolutely blurs the sight of the believer so easily that all of a sudden this is what you see Christians do today. They lose their sight. We forget the purpose of his coming. We forget the purpose of the sacrifice. We forget the purpose of the spilling of his blood. We forget the purpose of him taking it upon himself to choose us as his own. Do you know why he chose you? You are saved today, but do you know why? Do we honestly think it was just a temporary gig? You think he said to us, listen, I'm going to save your soul and let's see how long you can handle it. Whenever it gets tough, I get it. I understand. You can walk away. That's not part of the plan. The Bible says that he who remained till the end will be saved. It was Paul who said, I cannot claim I've arrived. I cannot tell you that I'm already where I want to be. But I'll tell you this. Through everything I go through in my life, I put that behind me. And I keep pressing forward. I keep pressing forward. How many times have we been on the edge of just turning around and saying, I'm going to jump off. I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to do this anymore. And the Holy Spirit reminds you, he says, jump and what? Jump and what? All of this was in vain? The sacrifice was in vain. Him leaving his throne was in vain. The giving of his life was in vain. The time he spent with us, speaking to us, is in vain. The martyring, the denial, the hurting, the pain, the whippings, the blood. In vain? Really? Just so that the first time you went through something that was hot in your life, something that was difficult in your life, was enough for you to say, like, well, this is as much as he wrote. I'm done with this. Yet many, and I dare say thousands of believers do that on a daily basis. There's great purpose for your salvation, my friend. And your pain should not change his promise. Our troubles, we are told, are momentary. And here in this conversation with these men, as I begin to close this morning, is what I believe the Lord tells us all today. Just as they have sent me, refocus. Because I have sent you, and that hasn't changed. I called you before this room. Before I had to come in here and step into your business, I had called you before that. Before I had to come up to this upper room and walk right through this door to find you because it was too locked. Before you were murmuring on each other, oh my God, what now? They're probably all going to kill us. Certainly all this is going to happen to us. Before all the murmuring amounts to you, all, I called you before all that stuff. So are you telling me that because you're afraid, you're going to undo all of that? He said, just the way I've kept going all the way unto the cross. I refocus your life today and remind you that you are the voices that we've left behind. You are the proof of the reality of me. You are the living testimonies that will prove to the world that I indeed am a good God. I have entrusted you with the oracles and the truth of God. It's no time to lose your focus in spite of your fear. I don't know where you're at this morning. But maybe you're at the edge of losing focus and going like, you know, I want to remind you this morning that you have a Savior who loves you. And regardless how much you're hiding right now in your fear and your trouble, he will find you. He's only as far away as your breath if you'll just say, Jesus. He walked through anything material. You see, that door didn't stop him. He didn't have it. Anybody got a key? Can anybody take care of these door locks and door jams that you've put here? I can't get through this big old thick door. He didn't ask for permission. He in his heart knew they needed him. And Jesus will walk right into your circumstance regardless of whatever stands in the way. And the first thing he will do is address what you're going through. And he will set you free. But don't ever expect him to set you free just to have you walk away. How many times have we come to the altar and said, Lord, I'm going through this in my marriage. Lord, I'm going through this financially. Lord, I'm going through this emotionally. Lord, my heart is broke. My friends betrayed me. Lord, this and the other. And we give him a menu of things that we've been through. And God will step in to your situation. And he'll comfort you. And then he'll just walk away and leave you. He'll say, no, no. He'll say, keep worshiping. You keep worshiping. He'll refocus you. Young people, he'll refocus you. Brother and sister, he'll refocus you. Why? Because he's expecting us to go all the way. I don't know about you, but it's my heart's desire and my plan with him holding my hand to make it all the way. Does anybody want to make it all the way anymore? Would you stand to your feet with me? Does anybody want to make it all the way to heaven anymore? Some of us are worried that we're not going to make another year with this government. Some of us are worried that we're not going to make it another year with all this violence. With everything that's going on in Israel now, it's the world is shaking. Prophecy is unfolding before us. Will we make it all the way or not? Let me tell you something, church, that heaven is not contingent to what happens on earth. Whatever wars we face here in these United States or overseas does not have a thing to do with us making it to heaven or not. You can find rest in that. I don't care if the world falls apart. And the world in Scripture has fallen apart at least a couple of times. Ask Noah and ask Lot. The world has fallen apart at least a couple of times in Scripture. And the Ark of Salvation was always there. So whatever happens in this world, don't be afraid. Be refocused. Know that there is always peace after fear. Now, does that mean, Pastor, I should never be afraid? And that's not what I said. I told you, I've been there and done that. But I am more focused on waiting for his peace and willing to embrace his refocusing. This is why I come every Sunday morning to preach to you. For the past 40 years of my life, I've been standing behind a pulpit without many of you knowing what I've gone through in my own life. You knowing how many times, just like you, I've sat down and said, whew, I don't know. I don't know anymore. But God comes to refocus. And Sunday morning comes, and I find my place in his kingdom. Because for this, I was made. And you have been made with purpose in the eyes of God. Don't lose focus. You've been afraid. You've been hurt. I get it. And God gets it. Let him comfort you. But don't use that strength to stay away. Use the strength you recover to refocus and come back even stronger. I don't know where you're at in your life. But if you need this encouragement, I want you to raise your hand to heaven. Maybe you're somewhere in your life where you need to be encouraged over this. We've got a couple of minutes. I'm going to ask you, those of you who have raised your hand and are needing prayer, just to come. Let's come and meet this altar just for a moment. You need to come and show God.